Hello. I'm going to talk about changes we've seen in Alaska in meningococcal serogroups over the last 3 years. And as you know, Neisseria meningitidis is an encapsulated gram-negative diplococci. There's 13 serogroups, however, B, C, and Y each cause about one-third of disease in the U.S. There's 800 to 1,200 cases annually in the U.S., which is down. There's been a decreasing incidence, now reported around 0.3 to 0.5 per 100,000. However, the case fatality is high, about 5 to 15%, and as high as 25% in some age groups. We reviewed 2004 through 2016 Neisseria meningitidis case reports in the State of Alaska database to evaluate changes that occurred in epidemiology. The serogroup testing was done by CDC's Arctic Investigations Program. The public health investigations were done cooperatively by the state section of epidemiology and state public health nursing. The medical records reviews were done by Arctic Investigations Program nurses, and whole genome sequencing was done by CDC Atlanta, NCIRD, meningococcal vaccine preventable disease branch. And here's the results. As you can see on this display of cases from 2004 to 2016 by serogroup, in 2004 through 2012, 78% of cases were serogroup B, similar to some other parts of the Northwest. There were occasional Y and C and W cases. Since 2013, 100% of the cases have been serogroup C. During 2004 through May 2016, which is the last case was in May 15th, 45 cases were reported to the state, and 4 were in non-residents, 43% were in whites, and 41% were in Alaska Native persons, which is an overrepresentation of Alaska Natives. 13% resulted in deaths, 66% were meningitis, and others were meningococcemia, bacteremia, or pneumonia. And as I mentioned, during 2013 through 2016, all cases have been serogroup C. 8 out of the 11 have been sequenced and are genetically related and through clonal complex 11. The ages of these 11 individuals, 2 of them were less than 11 years, which is the recommended age for routine vaccination. 3 were 11 to 25 years, and 6 were over 25 years. And this just is a display of the occurrence of cases by month. And the first case in 2013 was actually an out-of-state individual who was visiting the state, and that case was not genetically related to the other cases. But subsequently, all of the cases have been that we've sequenced have been genetically related. Despite the similarities in these cases, there's been no geographic connection or epilink. In October of 2015, we published a State of Alaska Epi Bulletin describing the change in serogroup for meninge. MenACWY conjugate vaccine is recommended for all Alaskans 11 through 18 years of age and for high-risk individuals. And the state provides Menactra, one of those the vaccines, through age 20 years, free of charge to all Alaskans. In 2014, however, our teen vaccination rate was 56.9%. So some take-home points. Prior to 2013, most of the meningococcal disease in Alaska was caused by serogroup B. However, since 2013, all cases have been serogroup C. And despite no epilink, the recent cases have been caused by the same clone. And Alaska's cases are more similar to each other than to other clonal complex 11 from other parts of the U.S. Some of the recent cases have been vaccine preventable. And I'd just like to thank the State of Alaska Section of EPI staff and CDC Arctic Investigations Program staff and NCIRD Meningitis and Vaccine Preventable Disease Branch. And the co-authors are below. Thank you very much.
Or they end up in an emergency room, or they die at home or something like that, if it's a coroner case and so on and so forth. It's going to be much harder to make that connection. So I don't know if there's like an average time between the clinical case and the death for a typical death. I mean, just if you'd comment on those thoughts.
So we, first of all, we don't get a lot of really good information to let us know that. We don't actually get date of death through NNDSS. So while I have onset of disease, I don't always know how long it's been since the time the cough started and when the patient actually expired. In situations where I have been made aware of that, it varies quite a bit, depending on what kind of treatment the patient receives, especially if it's an infant and they end up on ECMO. I mean, we've heard of patients on ECMO for hundreds of days. But then there are infants who will die within 4 to 5 days of their cough onset. So it really varies quite significantly. And I didn't really have enough time to go into a lot of the things that I wanted to point out about sort of the intricacies and the complexities of, figuring out how to deal with a pertussis case that ultimately dies. But there's a lot of issues surrounding timing that we know need to be taken into consideration. Especially with patients who are identified with various diagnostic types, depending on where it happens during their course of illness and what other sort of underlying symptoms or potential co-infections there are, it can be very difficult to tease out whether pertussis truly caused the person's death. So we know there are a lot of really big hurdles to overcome when trying to standardize this practice, but I think we're very interested in better understanding our really severe disease, so we'd like to open that for further discussion with our CST partners. And we do have sort of a small working group that is focused in on pertussis case definition issues, and I think this is something we'd like to raise with them as well to start a discussion. So this is by no means a done deal, and I think it's just something that we think is important and worth discussing.
Emily Fisher, Oregon Health Authority. Thank you all for very nice talks. My question is actually for Dr. Singleton. I have two questions. One is clarifying. You had said some of the serogroup C cases were vaccine preventable. I was just wondering how many of those cases had been vaccinated with a quadrivalent vaccine. And then my second question is, that's a really dramatic shift coming from Oregon where we've had B and we've only had B. I'm just wondering if y'all have any hypotheses on maybe what might have happened to cause that.
I wish Louisa was here to comment. None of the cases occurring in the 11 to 25-year-olds were vaccinated. Okay. However, and I have this additional slide. This just happened, and we're not sure of why this occurred. There's a couple of interesting things that occurred. You can see the cases have occurred all over Alaska. However, they sort of concentrated. The first case was in northwest Alaska, and then an individual close to that village who moved to Anchorage was the next case. So you sort of start to think, there were two cases fairly closely in time that were homeless individuals in Anchorage. However, we couldn't find any epi link. They were in different parts of the city. Mike, I think, is going to be talking about HIA, and we saw a similar introduction of Haemophilus influenza A into Alaska, and then a predominance of A. And so I think it's difficult in this case to say, we can figure out that this clone came into Alaska and now it's spreading. However, we have seen a similar instance with other vaccine-preventable diseases. And Mike, do you have any other comments on that?
I guess just on HIA in Alaska, we did notice, I think it's different from this, mm-hmm. We did notice when we looked at our epidemiology of HIA, we found that the initial cases, we actually MLST'd them, and when you look at them by MLST type, they would start in an urban center in Alaska, in Anchorage, Fairbanks, or another urban center. That's where they were identified first, the MLST type. Then they would move into the villages, and then they would seem to spread throughout the villages, and there'd be a concentration. But that seems different from the epidemiology here, or maybe we don't have enough cases to know yet. But
Good questions. We're pondering.
Rachel Weisman from Texas, and I wanted to ask you a question, Heidi. Just out of curiosity, why did you use the ABC data, and is it different significantly from the NNDSS data?
So we used ABCs because we were wanting to kind of publish an update. Jessica McNeil published the last kind of national estimates through 2008, so we wanted to kind of look at what was going on. We were getting a lot of questions about non-typable and HIA from Alaska, so we wanted to use the same data set that she used so we could compare before and after. And I actually have not dug into the NNDSS HI data, so I don't know exactly how it compares.
Hi, Rob Arceola from New York City. I'm curious about a pertussis question. So you mentioned that the definition was expanded in 2014 with regards to the infant case definition, and I'm just curious if you've seen or anticipate an increase in deaths related to that as an artifact of surveillance.
So we've been monitoring that, and to this point, no, I have not seen that. It's interesting, you know, in NDSS, we get good information on some variables, but a lot of it is spotty. And so it's impossible for me to interpret whether a case actually met the case definition and was reported correctly or not, so we just leave that up to the reporters. But as I monitored the probable versus confirmed, there's a whole lot more probable infant cases being reported to us now, so I don't know if that's because people are now just reporting them in their appropriate category and they were sneaking them in as confirmed before. I think that might be part of what's happening, but we haven't seen a significant shift to this point, although I think some of my colleagues have anecdotally said that they've felt they've been able to legitimately report some pertussis-related deaths that might not have met the case definition previously, but they're still small numbers.
Hi, I'm Emily Spence-Davison. I'm a vaccine preventable epi from Colorado, and I have some questions about meninge.
We have less than a minute.
Great. So I think it'll take a minute. So you said that they weren't epi-linked, the cases that were all serogroup C, but they were the same clonal type. Do you have a sense of how many SNPs different they were? Was it 5? Was it 50? Was it 500?
Until the last two cases, they were within 36 SNPs.
And they were within 36 SNPs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last two were a little bit more diverse, but still quite related.
Okay. And so when CDC sent you the report, they were like, yeah, they're not clustered together, is what they said? Or
They're not geographically, from a epi standpoint, we couldn't find an epi link between cases.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you very much.